It's simple, really. Great stories with a good cup of tea. It's the Tea with Mike show.
Hey everyone, Mike here. Please be advised that this episode contains some explicit language. As always, grab a cup of tea, and thank you for listening to the Tea with Mike show.
Please welcome to today's episode of the Tea with Mike show, Noah Staffer. Once an intern for Gary V's 1:37 p.m. brand, Noah has gone on to start his own creative agency, Art Creative. Welcome to Tea with Mike, Noah. How are you doing, man?
Good, Mike. I'm excited to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
For sure, man. We're friends before the podcast. We've been connected for a little while, but I'm just, like I said beforehand, I'm excited that you're taking the leap of faith and being on the podcast, right?
Yeah, the first one I've ever been on, so I'm pretty excited for it. I'm glad it's on Tea with Mike.
Awesome, man. All right, so before we kind of get into the nitty-gritty, can you briefly tell us kind of what Art Creative is and what inspired you to set it up?
Yeah, so Art Creative is a creative agency where we do short-form, mid-form, and long-form content for former athletes and help tell their stories and lead them to whatever their goal is. So if they want to become a broadcaster, help them become a broadcaster. If they want to do coaching and have their own course, help them do that. So kind of just helping former athletes achieve their goals.
Cool, man. Why do you think you decided to go into that particular niche? It's a very specific target client base.
Yeah, I played basketball my whole life, so I've always been into sports and Penn State football especially. So helping athletes tell their stories when their playing career is over to help keep them relevant is just something that interested me. And I think every athlete has awesome stories to tell that you're not going to hear from other people, like on JJ Redick's podcast, on Adam Brenneman's podcast, like these inside scoops that you're not going to hear, I think bring them to life, which is very cool to me.
No, I agree on the whole like sports train. One podcast that I listen to, like as I'm flicking through social media, is it's called The Cycling Goalkeeper with Ben Foster in the English football. And he talks about coming out of retirement and different secrets within the industry. And you're right. It's like it's very specific content that's really interesting to learn. And then also gulp at how much money they make for like bonuses and all the rest of it. And it's just interesting to see behind the scenes, right? Because you're not going to hear that necessarily from the club. They have an operation to run. Yep. So you're kind of reliant on, I guess, more like former players, people coming to the end of their career that aren't afraid to almost breach their contract at times to make content. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's super cool. I think it's a way to stay relevant to the people that cared about you at some point during your playing career. And it also, it gives you a good place, like a good starting point. Like, you know that the fans of either that club or that team already know who they are. So they like already, they could push, like you could push them already to that group of people. So I think it gives them a good starting point as well.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, I guess, how marketing in sports is changing, right? Another good example is Wrexham Football Club that got taken over by Ryan Reynolds, like one of the oldest like clubs in the English Premier League. They were they were in the bottom league, and with some other people, he's pumped a bunch of money into the club and turned it into a marketing machine, like making the Welcome to Wrexham documentary. And it's crazy how fast, if you got someone with some creativity, how you can generate 400% more revenue and get the club on the map.
Yeah, I saw a tweet about that. I didn't look too much into it, but I did see how much like their numbers across the board or everything have gone up. And it's super cool to, because Ryan Reynolds is obviously great at marketing, great at what he does. So it's pretty cool to see.
And so now in the next preseason, they're playing like Manchester United and like Chelsea and like LA Galaxy in the States. I'm like, that's insane how much like progress you can make in a short space of time if you know what you're doing.
yes, exactly. And Ryan Reynolds is very good at it. So it's cool to see.
Definitely one of the hottest marketers out there like right now, and also on the investment side too, right?
Yeah, definitely, especially with his, like, he bought, like, that digital marketing agency, and they started doing fast advertising, and it just blew up every time he did something. So he has his finger on the pulse, I'd say.
Yeah, and then it all comes down to just being able to execute quickly, doesn't it? I'm sure other people have come up with similar concepts, but maybe just not had that team behind the lens that they mm-hmm. need or the resources. Yeah. So yeah,
definitely. I totally agree.
Perfect. So we're going to come back to Act Creative a little later in the show, but we want to start at grassroots and learn a little bit more about you. So where did you grow up and where do you call home now?
I live in Jums, Pennsylvania, which is right outside a very, very small town called Hazleton. I lived in Hazleton until I was 5, and then I moved to Jums when I was 5. It was a great place to grow up. I was near all my friends, played sports all the time, played baseball, basketball, football. So it was a great place to grow up, and I really enjoyed, I still live there. So I really enjoy my hometown a lot.
What's the population?
Hazleton has, I want to say, don't quote me on this, but I want to say it's around like 25 to 30,000. And then there's like a bunch of surrounding areas too. So, but the city of Hazleton is probably like 25,000. I hope that's right.
Okay. A pretty small city in reality, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So. It's about 2 hours from Philly and about 40 minutes south of Scranton. So it's pretty small.
Cool. Did you enjoy growing up there? Did you like the small town or did you feel like you wanted more?
At the time, now I feel like I want a little bit more moving to like a city, possibly any like that would be cool. But at the time, I didn't really mind it because I was around my friends a lot and all of my family lives there, too. So and all I really cared about growing up was sports. Like I didn't think about anything. I didn't think about anything else besides sports. So all I really cared about at the time. So now thinking about it more like there's cool opportunities in the city. New York, Philly has some cool things, so probably closer to there. So, yeah.
I know it's an interesting one. It's a balance. I mean, if you can make it work, like where you are and make enough money and then do some like traveling, there's almost an argument for staying there because I'm assuming like cost of living is going to be a little bit cheaper than downtown New York or any major city around the world for that matters. But I think it's a balance between adventure, how much income you're bringing in and then just where you want to be at.
Yeah, your priorities. I mean, it could be that you need to live in a city and you want to work there and you want to make a big advertising agency in New York. But, you know, it's just all about your priorities.
So what was some of your favorite things to do like growing up?
I loved playing. I was very much into baseball until like my sophomore year of high school. And then I really only played basketball growing up. I played baseball, basketball, football until I was in sixth grade, then I quit football, and then I did baseball and basketball till my sophomore year, and then I did basketball sophomore to senior year, and I played 1 year at a branch campus of Penn State called Penn State Hazleton, which is like it's the USCAA, I believe it's called, so it's like kind of like an NAIA thing below the NCAA Division III. And then after I realized that I wasn't going to make it to the league because I'm a 5'10". I quit and just picked up a camera and started doing graphics and doing all that stuff that I now do for my business. So, yeah.
I think it's also cool, and we'll get into this a little bit more specifically, like how you started a very sporty childhood, you like being outside with friends, but then using your interest in, and then turning it into something that you want to do as a career, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, definitely. I got inspired by, I'll shout him out, Santino Stancato. I call him Sonny. He was a designer at Georgia Tech when I was a freshman in high school, or not high school, college. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And I got a free membership from Penn State to Adobe. So I that's how I started doing it back 6 years ago, I want to say. So that's 5 or 6. So that's how long I've been doing it.
Yeah, so just for context, so this like internship that you did with Penn State football, like doing graphic design, that happened in 2020. And how did you get the kind of the opportunity? Talk to us about that.
So I basically was putting out a bunch of, like I said, I was a big Penn State football fan. So that's naturally kind of what I started designing. So I put out just a bunch of player graphics, followed them, followed some of the designers on the team. Eventually I got, I think I reached out or one or the other to the head recruiting designer at the time and from there, it was during COVID. I didn't really do a ton. We weren't in the office. Like, that's when I was at Penn State, Maine. So I wasn't really doing a ton. Like, I would do a graphic here and there, but I wasn't super involved. But I did have it as a on my credits towards graduating. So it was definitely a cool experience. I got to sit in a meeting with the head coach and, like, all of the creative team. Shout out Keith McCall as well. That's kind of how that internship went. Like I said, wasn't super involved just because we weren't in the office and it was COVID. So it was a little iffy, but it was definitely a cool thing to experience.
So what do you think you learned about yourself from the experience with the challenges of it being remote too? Was there anything you learned there?
That I needed to get better, because I thought I was pretty decent at the time, but some of the people that I was working with, they were just very, very good. And it was very eye-opening to me, because I thought, I didn't think I was like the best designer, but I thought I was pretty decent. But that was very eye-opening, that like you got to put more work into it. So that was a big takeaway for me after that fall.
So more work in terms of what, the creative ideas or?
Getting in Photoshop, I would say, and just like getting better with like Photoshop, Illustrator, Lightroom, all of that stuff that goes into graphics. So it was mainly that stuff, just getting the systems down more than how I had it.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to have a little tea fact and then we'll jump back into this. So today's tea fact is all Indian teas are higher in caffeine than all Chinese teas. And that comes from the ChineseTeaShop.com. So you have to scour the web to look for interesting facts about tea.
You have them all on like a Google Doc ready to go.
Yeah, it's just interesting to, like I say, pretty much every episode, what you can learn about anything that you're interested in. It's like, and it's amazing if you go past page one of Google, like what you'll find.
Yeah. Not just at the top, yeah.
Eventually, I'll run out of tea facts, probably, right? Or enough interesting ones, and then I'll have to come up with a new concept for the show. Yeah. Maybe it's like 2 minutes on the clock to ask the host questions. I don't know. I'll have to come up with something good.
I think that'd be a good one.
The hard part about that is it's risky to a degree, because you lose control and you really like open it up. At that point, it depends how much you trust like the person on the screen, right?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
And some of these people I meet like completely randomly through other people. So like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It would be fun. I mean, Gary Vee would tell me to do it, but you know.
Yeah.
It is a risk. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree, but I think it's a cool idea, especially if you know them.
That's true. All right. So talk to us a little bit about going from that particular internship to then making the big leap to interning for 1:37 p.m. and what you learned both about yourself and entrepreneurship, business and social media in general.
So basically when I started there, I was doing mainly graphics for the articles that they were putting out. And then a couple transitions happened throughout my 3 months there. I went from just doing graphics to helping with the Instagram to being part of a 3-person team that was running the Instagram. So it was a lot of learning in those 3 months, like what's working, how to write reports to send to people that have like content that we should be making. So it was a cool experience. I first, to go back to the beginning with the graphics, I learned a lot from Mikey Coloca, who's now a designer for VFriends. And he taught me a lot about just Photoshop in general. And he has a very good eye for design. And then I got moved to running the Instagram with Brandon Chammy and Tyler Schmidt. And I've known Tyler since 2019. I met him at Pearl Street Diner in December of 2019. And he's been super good to me ever since. I love Tyler. He's a great guy. And from there, kind of just ran the Instagram, which was posting 6 times a day. Like, it was very in depth. Like, what everything Gary says, he means. Like, they're very into platforms and culture now, and all of like everything he says, he means. They're very much ingrained in it. So went from that to then running it with Steven Sakonikis, I think. I'm sorry if I butchered that, Steven, if you're listening to this. And we ran the Instagram then for my last month there, and then he continued running it after my internship was over. But it was, overall, it was a great experience. If anybody ever wants to work for any of Gary's companies, I would highly recommend it, because everybody there is great people. So, yeah, that's kind of like how my lowdown there on my time at 137 from a little bit of a higher level view.
It sounds like there's a high intensity, like, you're basically working as a member of the team. If you've got that far and you've got in the door, like, it seems to me like the intern part, it's not like you're making coffee for everyone. You're doing work. How did you manage your time? Because I mean, I personally couldn't do that. That would be like way too intense for me, like six posts a day. I'm like, I wouldn't be able to do anything else in my life.
I mean, 137 has a great team. So there was always people sending you stuff like, hey, post this. You'd have articles that would go out that you would use to post. The biggest challenge was the weekends, because you'd have to get like 12 posts ready for the weekend. So that was very challenging, but it was a mixture of just like people being all hands in helping you get content ready. So that was a very, very big part of it. If I had to do all that by myself, or if anybody really did that by themselves, it's not an easy task. So it's definitely a big team bonding there.
And that's just Instagram.
Yeah.
You weren't really involved in the other social media.
Not at all. I pretty much was just Instagram at that time. I can't speak for their strategy now, but at that time, that was really their home base of where they tried to gain the most traction. I never touched Twitter, never did anything with TikTok, or I never logged into Twitter or TikTok or anything like that. I was mainly just running Instagram. And doing some graphics as well. So,
would you do it again?
I think so. It was cool. I got to it, like you talked about, like that kind of intensity. It's not like you're not doing world changing work, but it's very, very cool to be a part of. And like when you're in it, you're in it. So it was cool.
Any particular skills do you think you maybe pushed on while you were there? Like, did you learn anything about like teams and structure and scalability that maybe you could use in the future if Art Creative gets that far?
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, just being nice to your employees or people that you work with in general. Like I never really try to be a Debbie Downer. I also would say speed is everything. And that kind of transitioned when I took at the job that I took after that too, because they kind of repeated the same thing, is just like, you have to be quick. Like you have to be fast. Like you got to go. It's not like slowing down. Innovate or die is kind of like the thing that everybody always says. And it's true. Like if they like ideas and making idea and make it like, oh, we just wrote an article. Let's get a 7-part carousel out. Like make it right now. So definitely speed was a big thing that I learned there, especially now with running my agency, of how quick we can get things done. The quicker we can pass to clients, quicker we can get it approved, the better and it is for everybody involved. So definitely helps.
So probably an internship that is probably one of the best internships, stuff that's going to benefit you.
Yes.
Like, in their own stuff that you're doing, right?
Yeah, definitely. I actually, I talked about, I knew Tyler 2 years prior to my internship, and I was helping run one of the accounts that they had. So Tyler kind of knew that I was able to run Instagrams. So I think that's maybe why he felt like he could kind of throw me in there as well. Cause I was a part of a 3-person team at one point, and then it went down to 2. So it was a lot at the time, cause I wasn't used to it. But now that I'm glad that I got that experience for sure.
So last point on this, is there like one moment that stands out for you, a lesson that you learned, a piece of advice or feedback you received, anything like that?
I don't know if it was a piece of feedback, but a day that stood out to me is the last day that I went in there and like met Steve in person. Jacqueline was there. Tyler was there. Sanon came in. Love Sanon. And I got to sit in Gary's chair. Just like, that was cool. Sit in his office, and their office is awesome. But that's definitely something that stuck out to me as like very inspiring, like that you can go, you could really make anything happen. Like if you look at Gary from Belarus, I'm pretty sure is where he's from, to the top of New York City in that office is pretty cool. So
I think it's cool from a cultural perspective how they let you sit in Gary's office and it's not like locked up off like limits. Obviously, I know there's probably, it's probably wiped clean. There's nothing on the desk. Oh,
I remember sitting in there with Steven. We went in and sat, and then I went and sat in. Tyler was in there with, I think, his assistant, I believe, and he called me in, and then I sat in there again. So it wasn't like we just snuck in there, obviously.
Yeah.
But we were sitting in there. I remember Nick Dio was sitting in there as well, talking to Tyler too. So that was cool.
I don't think I've ever, well, in the content at least that is available online, I don't think I've ever seen a piece of physical paper in the office.
Yeah, there's not much. It's, I mean, I was only in there for, I went in there one other time with Sinan as well, but the times that I was in there, I never really, I saw one piece of paper when Tyler pulled it out of somewhere and was talking about Instagram and writing visuals. So that was about it.
That's good. All right. So from your LinkedIn page, you've worked as a content manager, a social and kind of a creative strategy coordinator for a number of companies before setting up Art Creative.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the most valuable thing is that you learned about content production and social media strategies during this time? And then how has that specific experience helped you at Art Creative?
In terms of content production, it's always, you have to be nimble. You have to be willing to move, get things done fast, and be willing to, you have to have the ability to be, one day you're working on one project to the next day you're working on, you sit down in the meeting for 15 minutes and you're working on something totally different. So in terms of content production, I would say that. And then just for social, it's just, you have to be, you really have to be in it every day. I am with my clients, myself personally, I post probably two or three times a week. So I'm not like super ingrained, but in terms of my clients, it's a daily thing that we're very in tune with. And like, for example, right now, Instagram is really pushing carousels. So for every YouTube video we make for a top five, we make a top five carousel. And we know it's usually going to hit because Instagram's pushing carousels right now. So that's always being, knowing what's going on these platforms. It's not easy. And most of the time you really don't know because you're fighting an algorithm, but you like to think you do. So that's kind of what I've learned from both the content production and the social side as well.
Nice, man. As one of the fans of the Tea with Mike show, that were all about stories and providing that platform for people to tell them and then also to share them. So on the flip side, how do you use storytelling at Art Creative to create strategic content and to promote, I guess, brands and businesses?
Yeah, we mainly work with personal brands just because that's kind of where we're at right now. But in terms of brands, the way we push stories is, it's kind of different for everybody. So with our one client, he's very, very in tune with his story. And he knows exactly what will work with the audience because he has a lot of authority in it. We are able to tell some of them, obviously not as well as he can, but it just comes with knowing him a long time. I think another way we could improve on this is like when we do get a new client, having discovery calls with them where they just tell everything that they possibly could. And then we take it from there and write them the scripts for it. And then for the other side of it, it's like taking a raw video of a podcast they were on. They're on the radio, they're on whatever, and chopping that up into a good story for them to tell if they're talking about their broadcast or talking about baseball, if their broadcast are talking about football, the stories we could tell within that too.
What are some of the pros and the cons of being as self-employed and running your own business? What does a typical day look like to you?
So to answer your first part, it's cool, but it's very much so having to be on call all the time. When I'm with my family, I'm present, but sometimes I'm really not present. I'm not acting like I run this big operation, but you know, sometimes stuff does go wrong. So that's not always the coolest part. It's not bad, but the freedom is nice to, like, next Thursday, my girlfriend and I are going to go to the beach for her birthday. So it's nice to be able to do that and not have to worry about getting in trouble with your boss. And then still getting work done, of course, clients, don't worry about that. And then So a typical day, usually wake up around 6 or 7, Monday through Friday, I jump in the cold shower for 2 to 3 minutes. After that, I try to get client work done from usually around 7:30, 8 o'clock to like 11:30. Then I go to the gym from 11:30 to no later than 1. Come back around 1 or 2. Sometimes it's a little bit different. Sometimes I'll shoot videos of myself. Sometimes I'll message people. Sometimes I have more client work to do. Usually from 1 to 3 is like kind of open. And then from like 3 to 6 is when I do more client work, sending them stuff, getting posts live for them, all that stuff. And then 6 to 9 is eating dinner and doing more client work if they need it, communicating with editors. And then once or twice a week, I play basketball at night from like either 7 to 9 or 8 to 10. And then kind of just do the same thing. Weekends, it's pretty much the same thing. Changes a little bit if you, you know, go out to eat or something, but it's pretty much Sunday to Sunday what that's like.
Do you enjoy your current schedule?
I do enjoy it. I really enjoy the people that I work with. Clients are like, the clients that I work with are awesome. They're very, very understanding. So I'm very happy on that front. The people I work with are awesome as well. Anthony, Thomas, Sarah, Mikey, like they're awesome people to work with, and they make my life, they take a lot off of my plate that I'm not really, like some of my strengths aren't in, and they crush it. So it's awesome to have a great group around me. So it's definitely, that definitely makes it worthwhile too.
How long has the business been around?
August of 2022 is when I started.
So how do you go about finding clients, and then more importantly, keeping them?
Yeah, finding them is, I just send out a bunch of messages to former athletes. Like I enjoy meeting people as well. So just like, if we ever meet, like, cool. I'm not super transactional, like not really looking to take your money in the first meeting. And then in terms of keeping clients, building relationships with them and delivering them good work week after week after week, just building up that relationship is the main thing, especially with the ones we work with now. I mean, talk to them every day. Sometimes it's not like, oh, how's your day? Like, is there anything else we could do for you? Stuff like that. Just keeping that relationship intact is super important. So that's kind of how we keep them, and obviously deliver great work to them daily, weekly, monthly, whatever you want to say. But yeah.
Where do you see the company in 5 years?
That's tough, because I don't see where I want to be in 2 years. So hopefully, I really like working with the people that I work with now, and that's both client and freelancers. So I haven't really figured out that step yet. Like, I haven't broken it down to, oh, I want to sell in 2 years. I want to do this. Like, I just trying to keep the main thing, which is giving clients great work and building relationships. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
And what platforms do you like make content for? Is it all of them? Do you specialize in a couple?
We specialize in YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, just because those are on those daily, operating those daily. Twitter, we could post the video, not super into like what's working on with Twitter threads or LinkedIn. LinkedIn is carousels as well, documents, if you're curious. And then just Facebook Reels as well. Like, our main ones we operate on are TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, but the way social is now, you could post the same video everywhere and get different results. So it's a nice perk.
How many hours a week would you say that you work?
I don't want to come on. I don't want to bullshit here. I honestly don't keep track. I don't know. Some days I have a little bit more freedom if I get stuff done early. Thursdays I save to shoot videos, so that's kind of working too. I don't know, probably 50 to 60 if I really had to guess, but that's like, don't really keep track of it that much, kind of just whatever I have to get done, I get done. So yeah.
If you want a good tool for tracking like time, it's called Toggle, and it generates like monthly reports. mm-hmm. on where you're spending like all your time. And it's good if the taxman comes looking.
If the who?
The taxman. So you can see what you're like earning in your business mm-hmm. and how many hours you're like putting in case you ever get audited.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. Well,
and you have the information like readily available instead mm-hmm. of like panicking and having to like figure it out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I there's some days where it's a big launch day of a podcast or, hey, we got to turn this around quick. Like there's some days where it's just, I don't know. And I'm organized, but I'm not super organized to the point where I would go back and like click every time I start. Cause I just, my brain just doesn't do that. I don't know why, but, I'd rather just go. Like I just go. So
pros and cons, hey, cause you can also spend all your time like tracking your time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, oh, I gotta go back and track it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So talked a little bit about social media, entrepreneurship and business, but outside of that, you love to run and lift weights and play a little mm-hmm. bit of basketball and golf.
Yep.
Is it easy or kind of difficult to create that work-life balance? Sure, you have all the flexibility and time mm-hmm. because you have your business, but like it's also not structured. So it could, like you said, it could easily be 80-hour work weeks because it's a small operation, right? So mm-hmm. how do you like stay tuned to make sure you keep the balance? I guess is what I'm asking.
I don't really shoot for the balance because, some days you're going to have to, like, not play basketball because you need to do the podcast, like, make sure everything's right and live and you're ready to go. Some days I'm like, hey, guys, I'm offline for 2 hours. I'm going to have dinner with my family or my girlfriend. So just, like, kind of having that autonomy is nice to do whatever – do whatever I want to do, but still have client work to do, of course. So finding that work-life balance is not super difficult for me, but there's definitely times where I push hard in both directions because I'm human. Sometimes I take too much time off. Sometimes I don't. So it goes a little bit both ways, but I definitely try to make time every week to play basketball. I enjoy playing basketball and takes my mind off of it for hour and a half, 2 hours just to like go play basketball with my friends. So be competitive, which is fun too.
Definitely. And I guess even making that deliberate decision that, however, like that you go to the gym in the middle of the day to kind of like mm-hmm. break it up, even if that's mm-hmm. like 3 to 5 times a week, that's still like mixing up the structure, right?
Yes, exactly. Some days I have to go, like today I went earlier just because I'm going to a coffee shop later with my girlfriend. So I would like to do that. So I just went to the gym earlier. So it's, like I said, very nice to have that autonomy.
Cool. So then how do you look after the mental health side, spending a lot of the time on technology and things like that, right?
That's something I haven't figured out. I don't really, some days I wake up and like, I'm crushing it. Like, this is a great day. Other days it's like, dude, what am I doing? Like, I have no idea. Like, this is so stupid. I'm terrible. So I'm definitely still working on that. I don't really have that. I don't have that figured out one bit. So it's kind of a challenge that I'm trying to work through. But it just comes down to, I was talking to Tyler Schmidt 2 days ago, like, not being too hard on yourself. Like, very easy to be very, very hard on yourself if you miss one thing. I am hard on myself, but I'm not super, like, it's not that deep. It's kind of like my mentality sometimes too. It's like, it's really not that deep. So it's okay to be human.
All right. So putting you on the spot a little bit here, but I'm sure you'll do fine. So tell us something that our audience wouldn't know about you.
I've never flown.
Okay.
I'm flying in 2 weeks, but I'm 23 years old. I've never been on a plane.
Make sure you document it.
Yeah, I know. That's all I make my videos about. So I gotta do that too.
Hi there, Noah here from Creative. Really big day for me today. I'm getting on my first plane in my entire life.
Yeah,
a little aerial part of the airport and stuff.
I've never been on a plane. I've never been south of South Carolina or west of Pittsburgh. So I've been in like this corner of the United States my whole life.
And the United States is big, and that's before you even travel internationally, right?
So yes, exactly. I got a lot to see.
I want to see some content on that.
Oh, I'm going to make some. I actually just got a new camera too. So I'm going to definitely take some pictures when I go on my trip and stuff.
Yeah. Try and get a picture with the cabin crew.
Yeah. Definitely.
What's next for you kind of personally and professionally the rest of this year? Looking ahead, touch on that.
Personally, I just want to keep being in good shape, have good relationships with my friends, family, my girlfriend, obviously. Just want to keep trying to put my best foot forward every day with the business because I, like a lot of people, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm trying to figure out every day. But I'm waking up every day and trying to put my best foot forward, even the days that I feel like I'm climbing a mountain and I haven't made any progress, just to keep going every day. So that's definitely where that's kind of next steps for me, is kind of keep doing what I'm doing and try and live a good life.
Cool. What's a piece of advice you would give to someone that maybe wants to start their own business?
That's something that Gary talks about a lot that affected me a lot as well, is me personally, I still live at home. So like, if you have nothing to, like, if you don't have you don't have kids, you don't have a mortgage, you don't have a house, you don't have rent, like, you have nothing to lose. So you're just like, just go for it. If it doesn't work, like, if this doesn't work out for me in a year and a half, I'm 25, and just go get a job. It's not the end of the world. So it's kind of my mentality. Even to this day, every day I'm like, oh, if it doesn't work out, like, I'll just go get a job. So it's that's kind of how I would approach things if I was me, like 2 years ago.
Yes. What's one question that you wish that I'd asked you on this podcast?
Wow.
And how would you have answered it?
You kind of covered it all. I wish you would have asked me about my junior year of high school basketball.
Tell us about that.
We won the district title, and that was it.
That was the pinnacle of your sporting career.
Yeah, pretty much. It wasn't ever since that. It's really been downhill. Now I just play pickup Now I just play pickup basketball like one or two times a week. So that was kind of the pinnacle of my athletic career, and then from there, nothing else really.
Okay, and then as we wrap this up, where can people find your business?
I have a business on LinkedIn, but everywhere you can find me is Noah Stauffer Official. I had to put official there because Noah Stauffer was taken, and the underscore before Noah Stauffer is my personal one. So you can go either places. On TikTok, Noah Stauffer Official, Instagram, Noah Stauffer Official, Twitter is Noah _ Stauffer. If you look up Noah Stauffer, you'll probably find my name because I don't think there's many. But yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Maybe we'll do this again in a few years' time, see kind of how the journey has developed. I feel like you're at the beginning of the journey, much like I am in a lot of ways. So it'll be interesting to see how it plans out, right?
Yeah, definitely. This was, like I said, it was my first podcast, so I appreciate you having me on. It was cool.
Awesome. All right, everyone. This was another episode of the Tea with Mike show with Noah Stauffer. If you enjoyed Noah's story, make sure you check out some of the other great stories from people all over the world at teawithmike.com and on all of the major podcasting platforms, the Anchors, the Googles, the Stitchers. And thanks, as always, for supporting the Tea with Mike show. Thanks, Noah. It's the Tea with Mike show.